Welcome to Niner Die Hard Trivia, where the listeners bring the questions. Think you know everything about your Charlotte 49ers? Now it's time to test that knowledge. The answer to our last trivia question was that the Charlotte 49ers' first matchup against the ECU Pirates in Halton Arena was on January 26, 2002, where they beat the Pirates 87-52. For our question today, submitted by listener Alan Farmer, in a matchup on March 6, 1993, against Virginia Tech, a Charlotte men's basketball player was the last Niner to record a triple-double, racking up 14 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. Who was the player that achieved this feat? I'll reveal the answer in our next podcast episode. To submit your own 49er trivia question for me to ask on the show, tag the podcast on twitter.com with the hashtag InsideTheMind. Now, on to today's episode. Welcome to Inside the Mind. My name is Drew Fitzgerald, here to bring you coverage of all things Charlotte 49ers. Let's start off with the elephant in the room. After a tough loss to a hot Temple team, the Niners were booted from the quarterfinals of the American Conference Tournament. The Niners' luck would continue to only get worse, not receiving an invitation to the NIT despite finishing third in the American Athletic Conference with a 19-13 record. Coach Aaron Fearn publicly stated in the Temple postgame presser that the Niners would accept an NIT bid if offered. However, after the news broke, Fearn told fans in a tweet that the Niners would not be participating in any other postseason tournaments like the CBI or the CIT. Out of the top seven teams in the American Conference, the Charlotte 49ers were the only team not invited to a postseason tournament. South Florida would accept a bid to the NIT. FAU would be awarded an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament, UAB would win the conference tournament and earn a 12 seed in the Big Dance, Memphis would be upset by Wichita State in the second round of the conference tournament and decline a bid to the NIT, SMU would secure a bid to the NIT, and North Texas would also secure a bid in the NIT. Fans were rightfully upset over Charlotte being the odd team out and not invited to a tournament. I was specifically upset and vocal on social media about the NIT committee's decision to include North Texas over the Niners. I know I'm incredibly biased in my opinion, but I would like to take some time to state my case through factual information about why the Charlotte 49ers not being included in the NIT is bad for the American Conference as a whole. In comparison to the Mean Green, the Niners had a better overall record, a better conference record, a win over a ranked team, scored three wins over NCAA tournament teams, and boasted a 12-point wire-to-wire victory over North Texas on January 20th, holding UNT to only 44 points. The sole reason why North Texas was chosen over Charlotte was through the NIT's selection committee's new preference to accept teams that were high in the NCAA's evaluation tool, or net rankings, which replaced an older measurement system, the Rating Power Index, or RPI, back before the 2018-2019 season. According to the NCAA, the RPI was made of only three components: a team's winning percentage, the average opponent's winning percentage, and the average opponent's winning percentage. On the other hand, the net includes more components than just winning percentage, including factors like game results, strength of schedule, game location, net offensive and defensive efficiency, and quality of wins and losses. And to add, in 2020, the net completely abandoned using winning percentage, adjusted winning percentage, and scoring margin to determine a team's ranking. It's clear from an eye test that the Charlotte 49ers boast a better resume than the North Texas Mean Green, and this decision to only consider teams based on net rankings further highlights that the NCAA rewards mid-major teams more for close losses against teams in the Power 6 over wins against conference opponents. Of the 17 teams that declined a bid to the NIT, seven were Power 6 schools with a losing record. The NIT had also changed their selection process this year, granting two teams from each Power 6 conference an automatic bid and chance to host the first round game. This prevented several mid-major teams with a more impressive resume from hosting a first round game. This pattern of Power 6 dominance has seeped itself into the NCAA tournament as well. Mid-major teams like Indiana State and USF had historic seasons within their conference, but the NCAA tournament selection committee most likely steered away from these teams due to their lower net ranking. Instead, the Virginia Cavaliers from the ACC were chosen as one of the last teams to make the dance as the 10 seed. UVA then proceeded to deliver a pitiful performance against Colorado State in the play-in games, shooting 25% from the field in a 25-point loss to the Rams. Despite all of this noise within the NIT tournament and NCAA tournament and mid-majors and Power 6, the Niners have nothing to hang their heads about. Two Charlotte players were able to take away postseason conference awards. Lekai Patterson earned American Conference second team all-league honors, averaging 14.6 points, 3.4 rebounds, and 2.5 assists a game. Patterson also earned second team NABC all-district honors. Patterson is the 11th different Charlotte player to earn this honor in program history. Igor Milicic Jr. earned American Conference third team all-league honors, averaging 12.8 points, 8.5 rebounds, and 1.7 assists per game. Igor also had 11 double-doubles this season, a great achievement in itself. Coach Aaron Fern also received some postseason recognition. Fern was named a 2024 Joe B. Hall Coach of the Year Award finalist. The award is presented annually to the top rookie first-year head coach in Division I men's college basketball. Fern had a historic season with the Niners, getting promoted as the interim head coach to full-time head coach mid-season. Here are some things that Fern helped the Niners achieve in his first season. The Niners tied a program record set in 97 and 98, and also 2019 and 2020, with 13 conference victories. They achieved their first 8-game conference winning streak in program history. Charlotte earned 19 wins in a regular season, the most since the 2012-2013 campaign. Charlotte beat number 17 Florida Atlantic, the first win over a ranked opponent at home since 2010, and the first overall since 2013. Charlotte finished third in the American and achieved its first top three finish in a conference since 2006, which was Charlotte's first season in the Atlantic 10. The Niners also had their first sellout in Halton Arena in over 11 years, their highest average attendance since 2017 and 18, and the highest student turnout since 2012 and 2013. Not all men's basketball coaches in the American Conference are having the same success as Coach Fern. Coach Scott Pera from Rice and Steve Henson from UTSA were fired after rough seasons. Pera had a record of 96 wins and 127 losses in 7 seasons at Rice. Henson had a record of 110 wins and 144 losses in 8 seasons at UTSA. Both teams were booted from the first round of the American Conference tournament. UTSA promptly hired Austin Clonch, an assistant at the University of Alabama. Before the Tide, Clonch worked as the head coach at Nicholls State, where he led the Colonels to back-to-back Southland regular season titles and was named the 2021 Southland Conference Coach of the Year. Head coach of the Florida Atlantic Owls, Dusty May, is packing his bags and heading north to Ann Arbor to be the head coach of the University of Michigan. May led the Owls to 2 NCAA tournament appearances in the last 2 years. Last year, the Owls had a historic run to the Final Four. This year, they were granted an at-large bid, but were booted out by Northwestern in the first round of the tournament. Florida Atlantic has not announced who will be their next head coach, but expect more details soon. The transfer portal opened this week, and thousands of players in college basketball have already entered the portal in hopes of more opportunity elsewhere. To the dismay of many Charlotte fans, there are 4 Niners who have already entered their name into the portal. First being DeSean Jackson, Charlotte's dominant 6'11 sophomore center. Jackson was pivotal in establishing post presence for the Niners this year, and his absence from the court was quite literally make or break for the Niners throughout the season. Jackson averaged 11.4 points, 6.1 rebounds, and 1.7 assists per game. Jackson's best performance this season was against the conference champion UAB Blazers, scoring a career-high 21 points in a 20-point comeback that extended Charlotte's win streak to 6 games. Next up, senior guard Jackson Threadgill will be using his COVID year to enter the portal and become a graduate transfer elsewhere. Threadgill spent 4 years at Charlotte. Many fans expected this year to be his last. Despite being removed from the starting lineup, Threadgill evolved into a crucial role player for the Niners. He finished this season averaging 5.6 points, 2.3 rebounds, and 1.1 assists per game. Jackson Threadgill was a selfless leader on and off the court. He will live in infamy among the fan base for his last-second buzzer beater against rival Davidson in 2022, silencing Belk Arena and bringing the Hornets Nest trophy back to campus. Junior guard Sterling Young will be entering the transfer portal. Young was a JUCO transfer who saw minimal playing time this season. He only participated in 4 games. In 23 minutes against Greensboro College, Young shot 3-for-7 from the field, finishing the game with 9 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists, and 2 steals. Lastly, sophomore guard Dalen Berry will be entering the transfer portal. Berry committed to Charlotte as a high school recruit alongside Nick Graves. Berry saw far less playing time than his counterpart, most likely the reason for his transfer. Including the graduation of Robert Braswell IV, Charlotte currently has 5 scholarships available for the 2024-2025 season. So far, according to the portal report, Charlotte has reached out to Joseph Pinion, a 6'5", former McDonald's All-American, and sophomore guard from Arkansas. They've also contacted junior guard Kylan Blackman from Coastal Carolina, who averaged 11 points per game, including a 31-point season high against Georgia Southern in February. Charlotte also has their eye on 2 big men, Antonio Chol, a redshirt freshman, 6'9 forward from Rutgers University. Chol saw little playing time this season, but comes from Minnesota Prep Academy, the same high school Lekhi Patterson attended. Lastly, Sam Alexis, a 6'9 sophomore forward from Chattanooga. Alexis was on the All-Southern Conference third team this season. He recorded 9 double-doubles during the season, including 20 games in double-digit scoring. Transitioning to Charlotte football, wide receiver Jack Hystera announced that he will be entering the transfer portal. Hystera had 28 receptions for 349 yards and 3 touchdowns in 2023. Despite this news, Charlotte gained a new recruit from local Hopewell High School, Derek Ely, another defensive back. Ely is an all-sport athlete, and he's quite talented at basketball. Maybe Coach Aaron Fern may take a look at him as well. Finally, in other campus sports news, Charlotte softball is having a historical season. Despite having the #1 RPI strength of schedule, the Niners have capitalized on this opportunity and won some pretty big games, including a season opener win against #4 Florida State, a win against #14 Kentucky, and a win against #12 Virginia Tech. The Niners slid into the rankings at #21 for just the 2nd week ever. Congrats, ladies. Thank you so much for listening to our episode today. Remember, Niners wear green on Wednesday, and they also listen to the Inside the Mind podcast. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening to Inside the Mind. Hit that follow button to stay updated on all things Charlotte. You can also find me on X at Inside the Mind Podcast and Instagram at Drew_Fitzgerald. As always, picks up and roll Niners.